Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
He's auditioning for the best recitation of the Paracast. You notice that? He does very well. Nick Redfern joining us as guest co-host, talking about a lot of things. We started out with UFO crashes such as Kingman, Arizona, and Aztec. And then we've moved to ufologists. Don't do this stuff, okay? Don't do it, okay? Yeah. This is number six, and this, of course, is one that really, really upsets me because it's done so often. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's a play on the words from the X-Files, the truth is coming, as opposed to the truth is out there.
Yeah, sorry, I thought you were going to talk about the other one about don't talk to me, I'm a star.
I kind of did it already. I thought we'd go past it. I think it's so obvious and implicit, we don't need to get to it any further. But the truth is out there, or the truth is coming. Now, that one we hear all the time.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people, you know, sort of take the view that this angle of the government's going to disclose and, you know, somebody's got insider sources who said it's coming, you know, a week next Thursday or whatever. You know, that's just not true. You can go literally back to the days of Donald Kehoe. He was told, you know, one of his books, I think it's Flying Saucer Conspiracy, which is
exactly.
Like 1953.
Right.
You know, he talks about how he supposedly had an insider source who told him, oh, you know, the government's going to reveal it all in the next few months. Same thing happened in the 60s. Ironically, in the FBI's 1,700-page FBI Freedom of Information file on UFOs, there's an anonymous letter in there where somebody contacted the FBI and said, I've been told by insider sources that the truth's coming. Is it really coming? And the FBI wrote back, said, you know, this isn't our jurisdiction. Then, of course, you know, with the MJ-12 stuff, people were saying, well, this is, you know, preparing the way for revelations, etc. Then you had the more sort of defined disclosure movement. And so, in other words, pretty much since UFOs have been on the table, so to speak, people have been saying the government's going to reveal the truth. And it never comes. If people actually look back at the amount of times it's been said, people who sort of adhere to the disclosure movement might be actually shocked to learn this goes back 60 years and it resurfaces every 4 or 5, 6 years.
You know, I always wonder if Major Donald Kehoe were alive today, and he died, I guess, in the 1980s or something like that. He was born in 1897. I interviewed him in the 1970s. He was a pretty alert guy. And I never asked him this question. I kind of regret it now, I guess, because I didn't have the time. I would have wanted to say, Major Kehoe, back in the 1950s, with the book The Flying Saucer Conspiracy, you thought the truth would be out there, it would be revealed, and now we're still talking, and it's not happening. And years after Kehoe has left us, it's still not happening.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like the disclosure movement. I mean, that's actually not new now. You know, that goes back like a decade or so. Disclosure in general, I mean, you know, the concept of it. You know, it's like it's going to be put off, or it's going to be next year, it's going to be next year. Well, you know, how many next years does there have to be before this is just realized as the latest incarnation of the Kehoe era or the MJ-12 thing, when the documents were going to open the door to the next thing or whatever?
Yes, it's like history repeating itself, repeating itself, repeating itself. Number seven, it's E.T. forever. E.T.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm not saying that the UFO phenomenon isn't, or parts of it aren't, related to the extraterrestrial hypothesis. We don't have any proof that extraterrestrials are visiting the Earth. We have a hypothesis and a belief system that that's what's going on. Now, that may well be the case, but if we don't have proof, then for us to ignore all the different theories that exist beyond that is just stupid, you know, because it becomes, you know, like a Christian arguing with a Buddhist versus and a Hindu, you know, or whoever. You know, they all have their own religions. They clearly cannot all be correct because there are differences, sometimes major differences, between all of them. Yet they'll all say theirs is right. And it's kind of like that if you can investigate it from the ET hypothesis, well, that's a very stupid thing to do. Because, you know, it's not the only one. So if you're going to investigate the ET angle, at least give equal space to the other scenarios and just see if they have a validity. You know, does the sort of the wormhole window area have validity? You know, does the time travel theory have validity? Does the paranormal or occult angle have validity? And if they do, if they don't, fine. But come to that conclusion because you've researched it, not just because you want to believe it's E.T.
E.T., go home. Go home.
Yeah, I wish he would.
Number 8, never turning off the I'm a ufologist switch. Just mean I have to turn off the switch. There you go.
Yeah, it's like I never really understand this, you know, the sort of obsession. I don't think this happens a lot, but I think it does happen, and sometimes it prominently happens where you have people who just cannot turn off from the subject and have a normal life away from it, you know, and do normal stuff. You know, it's like people say to me, did you watch this show last night? Did you watch that? Well, no, I was watching American Idol, you know. Why were you watching that when there was a UFO show on? Because I like American Idol, you know. You know, there's nothing wrong with having a hobby and an interest, but if you cross the line to where it impacts on your personal life to such an extent that you put off the normal stuff in life, the regular stuff that, you know, that makes a person healthy and vital and active, etc., then you have crossed the line, you know, and paranormal stuff, for whatever reason, that does happen. You know, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying it happens to 90 or even 50% of the population that are involved in these fields. But it does happen to a significant percentage, you know, that people just get caught up and it takes over their lives, which, you know, is sort of sad and tragic as well.
Well, all you can think of is UFOs. I try to be interested in other things. I also have a technology radio show, the Tech Night Owl Live. I'm not all UFO, folks. Maybe one-third UFO, because I have the tech blog, Tech Night Owl, also. Bigfoot, number nine, with a bullet.
Yeah, well, this is, you know, where you sort of have this sort of cross-pollination, if you like, where, you know, you can sort of take the big sort of hairy guy out the mix and replace it with ghosts or paranormal or the occult or whatever. It's basically where, with respect to UFOs, you have sort of this cross-pollination with other phenomena that, you know, neither party's researcher enjoys. I mean, a classic example, you know, Aleister Crowley conjuring up this sort of creature known as Lamb, which, all, apart from the eyes, looks almost identical to the thing on front of Whitley Strieber's Communion. You know, but Crowley didn't summon this up or didn't encounter it, you know, with a visitation in nuts and bolts spacecraft in the woods. You know, he got in an altered state and basically invoked the thing, you know, and people in ufology don't like the fact that, well, this sort of goes down so-called hocus-pocus paths, you know. No, we need nuts and bolts. This is going to sort of blow our credibility. So it's basically that angle of where you have two paths crossing where neither research parties want it to cross.
It's not politically correct, again, to talk about Bigfoot in relation to UFOs. And
no.
It's like people who are interested in Bigfoot shouldn't talk to UFO researchers. But there's also this line of demarcation between people involved in science fiction. People who are science fiction fans, they have never gotten along with the UFO crowd. This is traditional. I've seen this over the years. And maybe because, at least with science fiction, you say, look, it's just a story. It's fantasy. And then you're coming and telling me that E.T. or whatever is real. Who knows? Number 10, ufological worries. Worry me this. What's it about?
I forget which one that was. Ufological worries.
For all their desires to spread the ufological word at conferences, on TV, on radio, and on the net, I have seen more than a few ufologists squirm and go bright red when they are forced to answer to people outside of their field the question of, so what do you do?
Got it. Okay, yeah, I know. Do you want to start?
I did that rather wrong. No, I think it's fun that I read it.
All right. Okay, cool. All right, well, I'll add my word to it. Yeah, I've never understood this angle of people being passionate about UFOs and standing up on the lecture circuit and, you know, having their say, et cetera, and, you know, in a commanding way telling the audience what they believe is going on. But then if they're at like a party at a friend's house or, you know, they just get chatting with someone, I've seen people squirm and just, you know, not want to talk about it. It's like, well, you know, have a bit of strength of character, you know. Don't be just sort of a you know, a total wuss that you're sort of, you don't even have the strength of character to support your own beliefs in something that you've, you know, spend a great deal of time investigating, you know.
I'll tell you what, we got to move this break. We have Nick Redfern. We're talking a lot of fascinating stuff here, including the things ufologists shouldn't do. Ufologists do not do these things, a 10 best or worst list. I'm Gene Steinberg. He's Nick Redfern. You're in
the Paracast. Ho, ho.
Hey, Hey, neighbors, you've seen all those crazy, wacky products on TV. The perfect tortilla, easy covers, hot booties, furniture fix, petty spin, and more. Where do you find all that stuff? You go to asseenontv.com because this is the one-stop source for all of these TV goods advertised. Find all your favorites as seen on TV. Check them out asseenontv.com. And by the way, save 10%. Here's what you do. Use the code SEEN1, S-E-E-N number 1, SEEN1. Go to asseenontv.com to order. Save 10%. Purchase this summer's hottest As Seen on TV items. Save 10%. Or call 1-866-277-3366. 1-866-277-3366. The code SEEN1 to save 10%.
Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources, September 14th, 2012. Gold open this morning at 1771.10. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,814.68, $907.34 for a half ounce, or $453.67 for a quarter ounce. That's $1,814.68, $907.34, and $453.67.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include micro plant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
My name is Angie, and ever since my daughter had alternating diarrhea and constipation, she suffered from hair loss, listlessness, and was stunted in her growth. After getting her onto two supplements suggested by NutriPath Stephen Hewer, she has improved dramatically. Her stools have normalized, her hair and her body are growing again, and she is beaming. I credit the majority of her improvement to One World Whey.
Children love the taste of One World Whey, and their growing bodies are getting nature's best source of protein. Evidence shows that non-denatured whey protein powder is a better source of protein than meat, milk, or eggs. If you have finicky children and you want a protein that will support their growth, energy, and healthy brain function, One World Whey is a must for you to try. Kids prefer it over junk food. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Ho, 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 and a bottle of forget it. We have Nick Redfern joining us as guest and guest co-host. Chris O'Brien is on assignment this week, and we are going to talk about one or two more major topics before we go on. And this is an article you did for Mysterious Universe again, called The Future of Ufology. And we have some questions about that from our audience, but I want to get into a description of what we're talking about here, the future of ufology. And I wonder about this because a lot of us got started early on, I won't say how many years ago, but I do remember Major Donald Kehoe as a physical living being because I met him several times. I do remember Ray Palmer. I never met Kenneth Arnold. I do remember Richard Shaver. I met him physically, as I did Jim Mosley, but Jim Mosley's still here. So what's the future of ufology?
Well, it won't have a future in 100 years from now. I think, you know, providing we're around as a human race and there's still a civilization, I think there will be. And the reason why I think there will be is because if you look back at any mystery that's developed within human folklore or traditions, it still gets written about, talked about hundreds of years later, like fairies in the Middle Ages in England. You know, 600-year-old stories. Well, people still write books about fairies. You know, people still write books about Victorian table wrappings and, you know, seances. People are still writing about the 1897 airship scare. That's 115 years ago. Roswell's nearly 70 years ago. There's no reason, I think, why ufology won't be around in another 100 years because, you know, it's sort of no time at all when you look at the way that some of these ancient mysteries are still being written about today. I guess my view is that unless there's a major breakthrough, which I don't believe there will be, and because there's something about 14 phenomena that always keeps one step ahead of us and prevents us from actually getting to that truth. It kind of keeps us dangling on a string. So unless something major changes, I think it'll be pretty much like it is today. You know, in the same way people are asking questions, you know, they hide to the airship scare in 1897. Did an airship really crash at Aurora, Texas, and is the body buried in the cemetery? You know, that's 115 years ago, and people are still asking that. I think 100 years from now, people will still be asking how many bodies were found at Roswell.
Well, the other question would be, what form will the UFO mystery take 100 years from now? Because UFOs always seem to reflect the times.
Well, you can look at it two ways. It depends on the strength of the ET hypothesis. If that is sort of continually endorsed and embraced on a massive scale, nothing might change. You know, if sort of paradigms shift and people come round more to the idea of, you know, how things like DMT, for example, you know, a definitively altered state, the research of people like Rick Strassman has shown that this can sort of, some people might say, well, it sort of creates an abduction story or like kind of like a communion with beings from another realm. You could argue just as well that it actually opens a portal or a doorway to another realm you don't see in a normal state of mind, which is what I believe. If that theory, those kind of theories get endorsed more, we might see the development of a phenomenon that, you know, goes down that path rather than the nuts and bolts alien angles. It may change, it may not. It all depends, I think, on how the phenomenon is perceived.
Well, the other question would be then, if there really is contact with alien beings, we make the true first contact the verifiable. Will that have anything to do with the UFO mystery? Wouldn't that be confusing? Imagine this now.
Well,
that we are told that E.T. is really here. E.T. has arrived. Maybe they're the Vulcans, whatever. First contact, okay? And we see E.T. and we interact with them, and then we learn that the entire UFO mystery had nothing to do with that. This is their first visit here. Wouldn't that be strange?
Well, yeah, but it would be also fascinating from the perspective of looking at how and why belief systems develop and how and why they can become so strong that people actually believe they're seeing something that isn't there. You know, or are they actually creating something in the mind with such power that it externally projects it, you know, like a tulpa, like a thought form type situation. You know, so even if that scenario did happen, which is an intriguing one, there would still be major work to be done to try and determine how and why and, you know, under what circumstances, you know, sort of belief, et cetera, kind of developed, you know.
You know, I have another crazy idea that just occurred to me. What if UFO mystery as we perceive it consists of illusions generated? The real ETs are doing it. They're generating these illusions to prepare us for their future presence.
Well, I mean, that's entirely possible. But I mean, because like you point out, every generation that's talked about UFOs has done so from the perspective of seeing things that are relevant to their era. You know, 19th, 20th century, it was airships. Airships were being flown. In the 40s, it was flying discs. And the 50s, classic flying saucers and Space Brothers. Then you had the almost like a crossover point where you had like the Vilas Boas and the Hills abduction, you know, where they were sort of halfway between human looking and the greys. And then from the 70s onwards, the greys, then you had the praying mantis and the reptilians, and the flying saucers went away and it's flying triangles. The landings and the contact cases and occupant cases described, you know, by the Lorenzans and APRO, all those sorts of people. What happened to them? Aliens taking soil samples, vehicle interference, all this went away, but many of these cases kind of smack of staged events specifically designed for the witness to see. And I actually think that is what happened. You know, I don't think it's random chance that people kept running across aliens taking soil samples. They were meant to see them to reinforce a particular imagery. So I think, you know, there has been manipulation of the mindset to acclimatize us to the presence of something, at least.
So these events are staged for their benefit, not so much for ours. I have an interesting question from Ufology, by the way. That's his address and his member name over at our Paracast forums at forum.theparacast.com. And let me start with these questions. This is an interesting one that we can go into for a while. He says, you suggest that if ufology fails to seize the growing challenge it already faces, that it won't die or fade away, but will still be here and here, popping up now and again, to quote, not unlike a nasty, itchy rash picked up in the private room at the local strip joint on a Friday night that never quite goes away. My question is, it sounds like you might have had some personal experience in this regard, and I'm wondering if you can tell us which clubs people should avoid, or if just avoiding them on Fridays would be sufficient.
No personal knowledge at all or anything like that. That was purely meant as a joke, and everybody, I would hope, can understand it was meant as a joke.
So let's assume this way, that we wonder if Nick Redfern goes out at night, is one of those nighttime people who has fun and frolic, or frolic and fun, depending on your point of view. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I have a good social life, but I mean, I'm not going to, you know, if I want somebody, some woman to dance for me, I'm not going to pay money for it, you know. And I'm certainly not going to risk getting some nasty disease. So, but I think the analogy is, you know, worth mentioning, the fact that, you know, it's kind of, ufology is just not going to go away regardless. And, you know, there are unsavory and annoying aspects to it, just like a real nasty rash. So.
Well, that's how it goes. That's how it goes. You have to wonder about that. We're talking about an article that Nick Redfern wrote called The Future of Ufology for Mysterious Universe Magazine. Now, our co-host Chris O'Brien is on assignment. He's preparing for that great big lecture in Northern California that's happening now, so it's too late to send you there. But therefore, I asked Nick Redfern to serve a double duty today, not just one job, but two jobs, guest co-host and guest. So there's a duality here. He has to become two people. He has to pretend to be schizophrenic. No, I'm joking. I'm Gene Steinberg. He's Nick Redfern. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-597-8843. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure. denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-597-8843. 1-800-597-8843. 1-800-597-8843.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay, and after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
The worst drought in 50 years continues, and the first 6 months of 2012 marks the hottest half year on record. 78% of the Midwest Corn Belt is in drought conditions. Not only corn, but soy, alfalfa, fruits, vegetables, and wheat are all impacted, raising prices. The cost to feed livestock is forcing farmers and ranchers out of business, blowing up your food prices. The only strategy to counter this is to freeze your food cost at today's prices by getting your own supply of foods from eFoods Direct now. As the price of raw ingredients increases, eFoods will have to raise prices too. Now is the time to get your supply. I recently increased my supply from eFoods Direct because we've all known this was coming. You know about their delicious long-term storable foods. The fact is you can eat at any time to save money today. And because it stores for 25 years, you're locking in today's prices and avoiding the rising food cost. Don't wait. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. You can bet your life on eFoods Direct.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
He's Nick Redfern. I'm Gene Steinberg. Chris O'Brien is on assignment, and we're exploring the multiple interests of Nick Redfern. We started out with the possibilities of a UFO crash at Aztec that he's looked into extensively, the possibilities of a crash at Kingman, Arizona that Harry Drew was talking about last week. Now we're talking about the future of ufology, an article he wrote for Mysterious Universe, and we have some questions from the audience. One from SRL, who's been a member of the Paracast Forum since November of 2010. Viewed from the sociologist's perspective, do you feel at this juncture in time, what is commonly known as ufology is no more than one belief system, in which is attempting to dominate that in Western culture, what is viewed as organized religion? In other words, do you feel that mainstream ufology has thus become a religion in and of itself? What do you think?
Well, I think it has, but from the perspective that it's definitively belief-driven in one particular scenario, the ETH. So in that sense, it has become like a religion because, you know, religion itself basically is, you know, a belief in something, but all religions insist, you know, that it's this or it's that, and they have their sort of specifically delineated guidelines. And for the most part, that's what ufology does. You know, ufology itself would not be, appropriate to classify as like a religion or to compare it if it wasn't for the fact that ufology as a movement is so dominated by the ETH. In other words, it's become less about, in the same way that religion should be about exploring the mysteries or the potential mysteries of life after death, ufology should be about exploring the mysteries of what the UFO phenomenon is, but it's become upholding the ETH in the same way that Christianity is upholding that tradition. Hinduism is about upholding that tradition.
Upholding the faith in the belief of ET.
Yeah, that's okay. Exactly what it's become. And so in that sense, it is, for intents and purposes, a religion. You know.
Now, you'll have to outline the background of this question from SRL. What do you suggest it would take for highly credentialed researchers who've been conducting their research underground to resurface? So I guess the first question I have to ask, Nick, is what is he talking about? What highly credentialed researchers are working underground?
I have no idea. I mean, I figured from when you just read the question to me that it was like a hypothetical question. But I mean, so I can, I mean, I don't know anything about anybody who's doing that, so I can only answer it hypothetically. I think the problem is that even though we know there's a genuine UFO phenomenon, it's become so tarred with ridicule and, you know, jokes, etc., that it's a kiss of death for anybody, or not anybody, but for a lot of people in the scientific community to get involved and embrace the subject. You know, probably the closest people get in the scientific community is things like the search for extraterrestrial intelligence, SETI, you know, and theorizing on life on other worlds. But very few people in the scientific community get involved, you know, in terms of actual, hey, I'm a full-on believer in alien abductions, etc. And I think all it what it would take would be a massive shift in the credibility factor, which could be borne out by a huge development that, you know, legitimized what we're doing in the eyes of everybody else, never mind just us. So I think it would take something like that. Otherwise, people just aren't going to come forward and, you know, risk their reputations, etc.
But you don't think there are any numbers of real credentialed scientists who are doing this stuff on the QT?
You know, I've never had anybody come to me with, you know, endless streams of letters after the name and say, hey, you know, I think this is going on, but I can never say so. But, I mean, I wouldn't be at all surprised if there aren't hundreds of people in the academic, you know, communities or scientific communities who have a passionate interest in UFOs that would never admit to it. You know, that wouldn't surprise me at all.
Well, we had real scientists like Dr. J. Allen Hynek who did admit it. But, of course, he started out working for the U.S. Air Force as their
guy. Yeah, I mean, like Hynek and Stan Friedman, you know, they've had the presence of mind and the strength of character to come forward and say, hey, you know, I'm a scientist, but I believe. But, unfortunately, the majority of them just don't do it.
They're not going to get those lucrative contracts from the government. Okay, what would you suggest that this field needs in order to interest young and bright minds?
I don't actually, you know, I don't care if he does or not, to be honest. You know, it doesn't bother me if I think ufology will have a future. It doesn't bother me, though, if he doesn't. You know, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it.
But seeing, when you do your lectures and you travel around, do you see young people there, or is everybody over 50?
No, that's actually, you know, I get this a lot where you see articles and, you know, people say, oh, it's, you know, all old codgers in the audience. But it's not. You know, you find a lot of young people, you know, sort of teens and 20s at lectures. But what I don't think is happening as much is that as many of them are moving into, like, research and articles and books, etc., you know, and getting on the lecture circuit themselves. That's one of the big differences, I think. You know, it's like a lot of people in ufology today who've been in it for 40, 50 years. They got into it as kids. They did a lot of on-the-road research, traveling around, doing interviews with a local newspaper and getting known as a local UFO guy and getting stories coming to them, then doing a few articles, books, getting on the lecture circuit, traveling around. I see less of that, I think, in, you know, sort of teenagers and 20s.
So they'll go to the lecture, they're interested in what's going on, but that's the extent of their interest. They'll never take it that next step.
Well, I mean, some do, but not, I think, on the scale in years past. But I don't think that's necessarily got anything to do with UFOs or such. I think a lot of that has just to do with changes in culture and society, in the same way that, you know, somebody, I know, just say hypothetically collects stamps, you know, a stamp collector. You know, maybe 20 years ago, they would have gone to these stamp fairs, you know, where people buy and bid for stamps or whatever. Maybe today, though, they'd go on the internet and bid for them at a website. You know, I think, you know, it's kind of like that sort of society and technology has changed the way we interact with each other. And if people can get it off the internet or watch a lecture, you know, on YouTube after it's uploaded.
Saves a lot of time. You have to sit down and write letters and send them to the post office and that stuff. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. What role would you consider mainstream media plays in the perpetuation of the ETH mythos?
I'm not sure it does. I think, you know, that, I mean, the media, from our perspective, the, you know, the UFO community, you know, there's no doubt that the subject gets greater coverage, massive coverage, you know, compared to what he did 20 years ago. And certainly the laughter angle has definitely decreased. And I think one of the reasons is because, you know, even with TV, you know, they recognize that there is evidence of government investigations and things like this and official files. So, you know, they treat it more seriously. But
the smirks are not there in abundance anymore.
No, but what I would say is that the TV, you know, any TV show for the most part focuses either on the idea that it was ET or as a mundane explanation. You know, it's like most Roswell documentaries, they're either going to look at the idea, was it ET or was it a Mogul balloon? You know, they're going to not look at esoteric angles or whatever. So in that sense, the media is guilty of helping perpetuate the ETH, but not, I don't think, from any sort of sinister New World Order perspective, you know, that somebody's pulling the strings. It's just that it's a lot of, you know, a lot of TV today, ironically, although there's greater coverage, it's just dumbed down crap. You know, stuff like people running around the woods saying, what the hell was that? You know, with night scope equipment. That's what we get, an abundance of that. We get far more paranormal TV than in the past, but it's just, it's not ironically investigative work. So, you know, a lot of the TV stuff today saying it's all aliens or whatever. It's just lazy journalism, you know.
It's not even journalism, it's entertainment. I'm thinking, of course, of chasing UFOs. I think people like, for example, James Fox are really dedicated in what they're doing about UFO research. But when they get onto a show like that, they're caught in the Hollywood syndrome of reality shows and the reality show syndrome. They have to be like the movie Paranormal Activity or Blair Witch Project, where you have the nighttime lost footage images. They look terrible and they sound terrible, and it becomes unwatchable. Now I'm on my soapbox. There you go.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, I agree with everything you say. That all, you know,
I'm going to let stop there for our next segment. He agrees with everything I just said. You know, I'm just going to cherish the moment. I'm Gene Steinberg. He's Nick Redfern. You're in
the Paracast, sorry.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
Let's keep preparedness simple. Do you need stuff for disasters? Of course you do. For over 15 years, DisasterStuff.com has, well, stuff for disasters. See? Easy to remember. DisasterStuff.com. Want free shipping on a new Berkey water filter? DisasterStuff.com is the official Berkey in-stock shipping center. Lots of folks want an EMP Faraday bag to protect sensitive electronics during a solar or nuclear event. Now for a limited time, all survival gear purchases over $75 include a free 8x8-inch EMP Faraday bag. Just enter promo code EMPBAG when you check out at DisasterStuff.com. We're also a Country Living Grain Mill authorized dealer. Plus, we offer freeze-dried foods by Alpine Air and Wise Foods. We also carry emergency kits, survival seeds, and much more. Preparedness should be simple, and it is. Just remember, DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
What do you do when your propane runs out and you don't have a large amount of wood for cooking? That's when you need a Grover Rocket Stove from StockStorage.com. The Grover Rocket Stove starts easily with any combustible material, like junk mail, small twigs, leaves, weeds, or dry sagebrush. Then just add a small amount of kindling wood, and you'll be cooking entire meals in minutes. Grover Rocket Stoves are made right here in the USA, and are built to last a lifetime, using heavy-duty, thick-gauge steel, and are painted with high-temp paint to withstand heat. Go to StockStorage.com and see three great Grover Rocket Stoves. Stainless steel, heavy duty, or our original Grover Rocket Stove for only $135. And get free shipping to the lower 48. For phone orders, call 801-361-6984. Or go to StockStorage.com. That's 801-361-6984. Or StockStorage.com. The original Grover Rocket Stove minimal wood use cooking stoves. Available exclusively from StockStorage.com.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Hi, this is Ted Phillips, listening to the Paracast, and it's as good as it gets, believe me.
Nick Redfern joins us as guest and guest co-host. Chris O'Brien's on assignment. I'm Gene Steinberg, exploring the future of ufology. We have lots of questions. And let's go on. Questions from forum.theparacast.com. We have a place there called the Question Bank. And when we know we're going to have a guest on in the future, and sometimes we book them at the last minute, we can't do that. We know we have the guest. We open it up for you to ask your questions. So Midwinter, who has been with our forum since 2009, a really simple question, probably too simple. Wouldn't it benefit ufology to cease to exist and the study of all things unidentified and paranormal to be researched together? How much is the actual term ufology itself a barrier to the study of unidentified flying objects? How about that question?
Well, that's actually a very good question. It's probably one of the best I've been asked in a long time because, you know, when you look at ufology, just the term ufology itself is self-limiting because, you know, it suggests, even subconsciously, that we're just investigating objects in the sky that maybe land occasionally that are linked with abductions, etc. You know, but it's like, what do you do when somebody's seen a UFO at the same time and place as Bigfoot? What do you do when, you know, somebody invokes a UFO encounter by getting themselves into an altered state, you know, whether through DMT or LSD? You know, I've interviewed a lot of people who've had profound UFO experiences while on LSD, and, you know, I don't think they were just hallucinating. I think they opened a portal or were able to perceive something that we don't perceive in a normal state. Ufology,
it's not the same thing as a person taking a couple of martinis and just imagining something.
No, I think the term ufology is self-limiting because for so long it's implied nuts and bolts alien spacecraft and nothing else. But it's when we take it, if we could look outside that box and realize it's just a part of a bigger thing, then it wouldn't be self-limiting. But, you know, if the UFO community won't do that and all it wants is, you know, Greg Bishop calls this UFO porno, which is a great term. You know, people just want the exciting tales over and over again of crashed UFOs at Area 51, et cetera, et cetera. It's never going to change, you know. It's going to require a massive sort of paradigm shift on what people view ufology as versus what they did view it as.
One of those things that we hope will become better, but maybe not. All right, a lesser question from Midwinter. Does Nick see differences between ufology in the U.S. and other countries such as the U.K.? Well, certainly in South America, I see a lot of differences when we have someone like A.J. Gavard from Brazil I'm seeing maybe a more serious approach.
I don't think, you know, the subject's any more serious in Britain than it is to the US. I mean, they're the two I can sort of relate to the most, you know, because I live in the US. I've, you know, I've been here 12 years, but I'm originally from England. I guess that the biggest difference I can definitely see is that the ETH is less relied upon in the UK. You know, people do sort of look more at the other ideas, but they're perceived as being skeptics because, you know, they look at things like plasmas. Even when, you know, even when people talk about plasmas that could have an effect on the human mind and provoke hallucination, they're still viewed as debunkers or skeptics or whatever. So that's one of the things I get quite a bit, is that, you know, the angle of, you know, the difference of endorsing this theory or just, you know, being more open to other theories. But I think beyond that, there aren't that many differences. You know, there's lecture circuits, conferences, books, theories, ideas. You know, you see a lot of the same people at different lectures and conferences. You know, so it's a good social scene as well. So other than the fact that, you know, the ETH isn't sort of all dominating as such, I don't think it's that much different, really.
It's just the language difference. But you tend to have, for example, I noticed in South America, it seemed the reports were more extreme in the sense of abductions and contacts.
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of the, certainly the South American stuff, you know, is very different to what you see elsewhere. You know, they still get a lot of those sort of landing cases and, you know, where there's sort of, they're often more sort of threatening and disturbing to the witnesses. You know, in the US today, I mean, it's like, how often as UFO researchers do we really get, you know, sort of those definitive Zamora-type cases, you know, the Lonnie Zamora landing, or, you know, things like that, or the Kelly Hopkinsville, you know, the goblins and the shootout, or, you know, the flyovers of D.C. We don't get those anymore, but certain parts of the world do get strange cases. So I think a lot of it is cultural in some respects.
Yeah, that is very interesting. Think about the kind of cases we had back in the 1950s. And someone suggested once that maybe those UFOs, those spacecraft, whatever, assuming they were spacecraft, have left us, and what we're seeing now is something totally different.
Well, that's right. I mean, I think the big problem is there's always a tendency, you know, that if people see strange things in the sky, that it's all part of one great phenomenon. There's no reason why it should be. I mean, you know, for UFOs in general, there's countless theories. I mean, obviously there's the ETH, then you've got, you know, the secret aircraft angle, plasmas, ball lightning, you know, Trevor James Constable's, you know, these sort of living jellyfish in the sky that are mistaken as flying saucers. And even if they are genuine UFOs, you know, you're quite right. Who's to say it's the same ones coming over and over again? You know, why shouldn't it be the case that one lot goes away and another one arrives? I mean,
maybe they thought we were very boring. And they said, you know,
well,
what,
yeah,
those earthlings, they just can't get their stuff together. Let's just go off to another star system. And then somebody else discovers us.
Well, I mean, you could actually make quite some merit out of that because, you know, in the 50s, you had the sort of Space Brothers and the Flying Saucers. Even the Hills aliens, you know, weren't really the Greys of today, and the Flying Saucers have gone, and today it's Flying Triangles. So, and this is all in the course of, like, 60 years. There's been massive change. So, you know, maybe there is an argument there to be made that it's not the same ones over and over, that it's something ever-changing or just an endless list of different entities. That's why, you know, I kind of go more with a sort of portal window area angle rather than all these different races, if you like, you know, zooming back from this star system or that one, you know.
I want to go into more in window areas in a moment because we have a question about that. In fact, it's two questions hence, so let's just go to Godsmacky. That's the guy's name, and he's a very prolific member of our forums. In the English-speaking world, we mostly hear of paranormal events in these countries. Do you think or know if paranormal events are happening evenly across the world? Is it just due to the reporting infrastructure or culture that leads us to not hearing much from some parts of the world?
I think, you know, we do hear from other parts of the world. You know, there's no doubt about that. It's to what extent people bother to find out. You know, you mentioned A.J. Javard earlier. You know, A.J.'s always putting stories out. You know, it's to what extent people type into Google, you know, South America plus UFO plus latest sighting or whatever. You know, if people aren't going to look for the information and just hope somebody's going to spoon feed them. Well, you know, you're not going to find out what's going on in Russia or whatever. All you're going to find out what's, you know, going on at home, so to speak. So, you know, there's no doubt that sightings and encounters and however you want to term them are going on all the time. It's what, you know, it's to what extent they're sort of highlighted in someone else's country, you know. It's kind of like, I mean, a classic example, how many people in America right now might know what are the most popular programs on English TV in general? Probably not many, you know, and vice versa.
Well, the only English programs we know about, of course, are Doctor Who and a few shows on BBC America. That's about it. Are you a fan of Doctor Who?
No, I don't like science fiction at all.
Oh, okay.
I don't watch it, no.
All right.
Which is kind of an interesting thing, you know, that I'm interested in UFOs and write about them, but, you know, space fights and laser guns and silver suits. I like horror, but science fiction doesn't really do anything for me, you know, and sort of lofty highbrow in sci-fi does even less for me.
Well, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I don't know if it is, actually.
No, I'm just trying to understand your very personality, what you're interested in. Let's get into this subject, which we mentioned briefly, and we'll take it to the next segment. What is your opinion of the possible existence of portal areas? And you alluded to that very briefly. I want more detail in this segment. We only have like 30, 40 seconds left, then we'll move to the next one.
Well, I mean, in that sort of period of time, you know, I'd say that I actually do think that answers a lot of the questions. I think the more we dig into it and the way these cases are so fragmentary and these things are here and gone, I actually think the portal window area that Keel used to speak about is more valid than the, you know, the nuts and bolts craft coming from this star system or that one.
It's certainly a faster way of getting here, I'll tell you that. Okay, folks, let me just tell you that Chris O'Brien is on assignment. He'll be back next week with more exciting stuff to report, especially about that UFO convention he's attending. He's Nick Redfern. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
Paracast without the ha-ha.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.